Welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry. It is finally a new episode. If you can hear my voice, I was a little under the weather. And then I did what do they call it in Australia? Waltzing Matilda. I did a little traveling and wandering around like a vagrant in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. They took the daughter down there and had a little fun down in a little bit of sunshine.
Yes, and it was a phenomenal trip. But I got a couple things I want to bring up from that trip. I'll call it housekeeping, but really it's just going to be like a couple gripes I have. And then, before I forget, because we did take a week off, Jamie Royce Gomez from Endow, she came in and we did the whole new hunt book episode. That hunt book is out now, and she sent me the email that we stumbled over in that episode.
Yeah.
So for listeners, if you have feedback on the layout or you find a typo, whatever it is, you want to provide some feedback to Endow on the new hunt book, that email is endowinfo@endow.org. So I'm going to say that one more time. Endow, N-D-O-W-I-N-F-O at endow.org. If you got feedback on the new hunt book, that is where you can send questions, comments, concerns.
Yeah. And everyone should have received a book by now.
Yep. Yeah. Mine showed up.
Oh, yeah. I got mine. So if you did not receive it yet, get down to your local vendor, hunting house, sporting goods store, whatever, and grab yourself a book. It's also online. You can go to the endow.org website, download it there. If you're a stare at a computer screen kind of a person, I can't. I got to write and put post-its all over mine.
It is a little confusing to get to online.
It is.
Yeah. If you go to endow.org, it's tough to find the book on there. I had to back out and Google Nevada Hunt Book 2026-2027. And then the e-regulations website popped up where you can download it and everything.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I got to it. I kind of stumbled around the Endow main landing page.
Uh-huh.
I was like, where the heck is the book? You can click, you can find like all the NAC and NRS and all these laws stuff. But I could not find the book until I Googled it.
I got to it. I went into like publications and so.
I didn't look under publications. Yeah. That might have been my fault.
Anyway, it's there. So yeah, get your hands on it and do not throw it away because there's not another one coming out.
Nope.
The two books have been combined into one. There is a lot of information in this thing.
Yeah, and we're going to cover that today, actually. This will be the hunt book episode. Before we dive into that, a couple things. I just don't get out much unless it's the high and lonesome corners of the state of Nevada.
Yeah.
So this trip, I went to San Diego, took my daughter to the zoo. It was phenomenal. We did like the VIP experience. They carted us around. She got to feed animals. We got to go like behind the scenes. It was amazing. However, I thought maybe it was just the zoo. And I'm going to tie all of this into something relevant in a moment. Well, then we spent a couple days going to the beach and everything, out to Coronado Island and then up to Mission Beach and did all that. I always think of Southern California and especially that beach culture as like fit, attractive people living on the sunny.
Yeah, like that surfer kind
Dave.
Not so much, huh?
Society is going to hell in a handbasket. I am telling you, I was blown away at the size of people. And I mean like everybody, men, women, young, old, it didn't matter.
Really?
Kids, people are just fat and soft. Yeah. I was blown away. And I don't know, maybe people listening out there are going, yeah, man, you ever get out? Well, look, I don't spend a ton of time around people, I guess, because
big crowd.
Shocked.
Yeah. When we were down in San Diego for my brother's wedding and the wife and I went walking along the beach, because I'm like a people watcher. I'm like you. I'd rather be out in the backcountry of nowhere by myself on a ridgetop, you know, kind of cruising around, talking to myself, you know. But yeah, there were moments where I was like, wow.
Buddy.
Someone had to have bought that for you. I agree with you.
I was just shocked, Dave. Yeah,
shocking.
I picture like Baywatch, fit, attractive people on the sunny shores of San Diego.
You grew up in the 80s and 90s. That's what you were used to.
It was not Anderson. It was not that, you know, dude.
Yeah, no.
It was bad.
Well, the one thing I did notice is that most of the homeless were better dressed than I was.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Walking around downtown San Diego. I was like, oh, man.
Walk along the beach, all the cafes homeless. And stuff, and you're like, dude, that homeless dude just came out of a Lexus.
Yeah.
Like,
God dang, I'm not
God
throwing.
Dang.
Hey, you got some spare change there, buddy? I could use it.
Yeah.
So tying that in, I posted a, I always forget, story or reel or whatever on our Instagram
I don't know
thing.
The difference of any of those.
No, it was a little, it was, I was reposting someone, but it was a good one. I forget the guy's name, but he had kind of a funny thing about, he was like, somebody get in touch with Andrew Huberman. We've made a groundbreaking discovery. It turns out if you put a 50-pound pack on and you walk through country like this for days on end and you eat less calories than you would eat sitting on your couch, the weight just comes flying off. And I thought, yeah, isn't that weird how that works?
Oh,
so that
awesome.
Got me going on the observations on the beach of San Diego. Now, last but not least, when I say society is going to hell in a handbasket, do you know what they have on the walls of the bathrooms in the San Diego airport?
Oh,
do you
God,
remember?
No.
Did you fly in?
No.
Oh, you drove?
No, we drove in. Did not. What's, please?
Above every urinal, above every toilet, is a giant warning sign, do not consume. We have gotten to a point in society where we have to spend money to put, this is not an exaggeration, look it up online, folks. We got to spend money to tell people not to drink out of a
frigging urinal. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No joke, Dave.
So somebody,
God is my witness,
somebody because they drank urinal water,
piss water,
and probably got sick. And so they sued saying, well, you guys didn't say not to.
Oh my God. And Dave, this is why I will spend Easter weekend out at Knott Creek Reservoir.
Yeah.
Cause I got at least 6 months worth of human interaction while I was in San Diego.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, standing there taking a leak, and there's a big, every single one, do not consume. And then just in case you couldn't read English, it was in Spanish. I think it was just English and Spanish. And then below it, the best part is there's a drawing of a cup dipping into the urinal with the like crossed out do not do thing on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was mental. I was blown away.
Thanks, Newsom.
How is that even a thing?
Oh my Lord.
If you are the type of person to bury your face in a urinal and start lapping it up,
you
deserve what you get.
You deserve what you get.
I was blown away.
Oh my God.
So, hey, like I said, that's why Easter weekend, I'm going to be out at Knott Creek Reservoir.
Buddy.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you drink urine water out there, hey, it's on you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Blown away.
I'm with you.
So there you go. There's my little bit of griping. We have about eaten up the first segment here. But like I said, we are going to get into the 2026-2027 hunt book. There's some exciting stuff coming. Man, there were a handful of changes, Dave.
There's quite a few changes, some new hunts, some change in hunt dates. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff. It's really cool. A lot of changes with the youth hunts that have, I think, will be beneficial. We'll get into that. We'll talk about some of the party hunts.
Yes.
We've gotten some questions on how to go about the party
bonus
hunt.
Bonus points, applications.
Applications. We've gotten asked about bonus points as a party. Whole bunch of cool stuff. We have plenty of questions.
And as always, sincere thank you to Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. Do not go anywhere. We will be back with the Hunt Book 2026 episode in a moment. This Sunday's episode of Nevada Backcountry, it is the Hunt Book 26 and 27 episode. We're going to dive right into some of the changes. And of course, I've got questions. So Dave, what do you want to start with?
Well, I just say let's dive into like the what's new, what's going on right now.
Lay it you on know, me.
Some of the new stuff that's happening. One of the bigger changes is in the youth hunts.
Yes.
Where a youth, if you're applying for the youth hunt, you can only receive one youth tag.
Why wasn't it always this way?
You know, good question. It just got to the point where there were so many youth that weren't pulling tags. And so many, like it was a pretty good amount.
You and I know a handful of people where their kids got two tags.
Yeah. So, and a lot of kids were getting two tags and more kids were not getting any. So the commission decided with the recommendation from Endow was to limit it to, if you get a deer tag, then you're kicked out of the horn shorter than ears tag.
Right.
So it's going to allow a better distribution of the tags, allow more kids to get out in the field and experience the hunt.
I want to make the point because I know somebody last year whose kid got both the junior tags and a party cow elk tag.
So now if they put in for the regular hunts,
right,
they're still good. They can draw bull elk, sheep tag, goat tag.
Yep.
They can do the whole nine yards only in the youth.
Right.
If they put in for youth.
So it's only those two junior hunt folks.
That's
because
it.
I had a text conversation with a friend of mine this last weekend, and that's what he was like, I don't get it. So my kid can only draw one tag. And it was like, no, man. If they're in for the regular stuff, the bighorn sheep, whatever,
right.
Like you said, that stuff is still just the regular draw. This only applies to the junior hunts.
Exactly. And so now there is a caveat. They could receive both junior tags if they are picked as an alternate or if they grab one in first come, first serve.
Oh, okay. Well, that still seems,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's still some effort that has to be done. So,
right. Right.
You know, there's quite a few changes in the antelope hunts. So, that one, you're going to have to get the book and kind of run that. That'd be half our show would be talking about antelope.
I will. Can I bring up the addition of a split season structure? Can you explain that to me?
You know, so the split season structure is that they're going to have an early season and a late season.
And that was not the case before?
No.
Oh.
No, you just had a season. You just had any legal weapon hunt August 15th through whatever.
Right,
it was,
and
September
archery
7th.
Was August 1.
Correct, till August the 15th or
right,
so.
Right, right.
So now, instead of it being August 15th to September 7th, I think, was the late season.
Okay.
The end of it, they just split that. So now you only have about a 10-day window.
I see that. Okay.
On each hunt. So you have an early and a late season.
From a biologist's perspective, why? Or well, was there any biology involved, or was it a crowding thing?
It's more of a crowding thing.
It's crowding.
Trying to split it up. So one of the issues or one of the concerns or comments that were being received on a regular basis was it is so crowded out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming up and there's 10 other hunters sitting on the same ridge top. You know, antelope group up.
Yep.
As you and I saw on our chucker hunt, I mean, there must have been 400 antelope freaking meadow. So, so they bunch up. So you're going to...
This is for hunt unit group 14 and 15, or 141, 143, 151 through 156.
Yeah.
And unit 15, I'm smiling as you were going through that hunters bunching up, because there's one specific area in unit 15 that is like a shooting gallery.
Oh yeah.
And everybody goes
and
there.
Everybody
so,
goes
okay,
there.
That
so this
makes
is
sense.
just trying to lessen the amount of hunters in the field, so breaking it up.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes total sense now. I noticed that they added some of the junior antelope horns shorter. They added a bunch of units to that.
Yeah, they did. They added quite a few, and all of them run September 8th to the 24th.
Okay.
So, and yeah, they added quite a few new units. So,
and I thought that was the one they had a hard time getting rid of all those tags last year.
Well, what happened last year with that was folks really didn't know, because that was all done during the quota setting and a lot of people had already put in. By the time all of that information was released that, hey, these are now youth tags.
Right.
A lot of the any legal weapon, regular general hunt, shorter than ears, all went to the youth hunt. A lot of folks had already put in, so that left, it was kind of
so they just didn't realize.
Yeah, there was just this, like, information distribution, kind of a gap, and that's why there were so many left over. Okay. Now, a lot got grabbed on the second draw.
Yeah, yeah.
And then first come, first serve. So,
okay.
And you know, they opened up a lot more areas, as well as I think the tags are a little less this year than previous year, kind of pushed some back into the any legal weapon general hunt category.
Okay, gotcha.
So, which would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of stuff in antelope, so get on there and check that one out. Then you got bighorn sheep. They've removed the archery hunt for desert bighorn in unit 213.
Which was yours.
Which the hunt I had. Yeah, I had, yeah. Yeah. They're in 212. Both of those are gone now because of the die-off.
And that's down near Goldfield, Tonopah, all that, correct?
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Just right before you get to Tonopah.
Okay.
Yeah, on your left-hand side there, right before the big solar, concentrated solar complex there. So they've been removed the hunt unit 164 and to accommodate for a managed ram hunt.
Okay.
They have also...
Wait. Back up on that for a second. So they removed the unit 16 or the 164.
164.
Just 164.
Yeah.
But there's still a hunt going on. It's a management ram hunt?
It's a management ram hunt. It's an any ram hunt.
So what does that tell you? What am I to read between the lines on there as far as why?
Well, that one is they're trying to get a lot of those animals out of there because of some disease issues, some bacteria issue going
on. Okay.
From what I've understood.
But the herd's healthy enough in bordering units to still have that 131
through. Yeah, like
through,
131, 132 right. hunt. Right, right.
Okay. So right. Just that one
that
area,
one,
it's a management
spot,
ram hunt.
Yeah, that one unit. So then they modified the description season or the season for 173 North, which is an any ram hunt. That one got changed up September 1st, January 1st. So, I mean, yeah.
That's a heck of a good season.
Oh, dude, that's friggin' awesome.
I mean, the show's usually in October.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you could basically treat a hunt that long. I would treat part of that first month as a scouting.
Oh, exactly.
Unless October, they're bashing heads. So, okay, right. Cool, go out for the show. And then find, you know, post-breakup, like a good ram you want. November, you got all of November, December to kill it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a great one. I mean, as long as you got the time to get out there and do all that. And then they closed area, what was that, unit 173 North.
Okay.
And that was a management ram hunt.
Oh,
so
okay.
So they got rid of that one. So
they did achieve the management goals by getting rid of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
this is going to sound naive, Dave. The management ram hunts, they don't count against your points. It's like a depredation thing, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. You put in for that. You're not losing your ram.
Right.
Your standard ram points for that.
So might as well put in for
it. Oh, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like a depredation hunt or something. It's just like,
I don't know why,
man.
I was drawing a blank on that. I mean, I knew the depredation thing, but I was thinking, sitting here going, wait, management ram, is that the same? Is that going to ding me off? So
no.
Anyway.
No, and we'll get into that when we get into that bonus point thing, because I know folks have been asking about that kind of stuff. This is a big one here. The California bighorn sheep, people have been waiting for these areas to reopen. So the reestablished an any ram season for hunt units 011 and 013.
Yep.
And that hunt September 1st to November 10th, another pretty long season, as well as a ram hunt reestablished for hunt unit 014 from September 1st to October 31st. Those are going to be pretty sought after.
Oh, and I already know some critters. And by critters, I mean, that's a term of endearment in my world. I got a couple friends that I would deem desert critters that have been watching those herds in there. And there's some dandy rams kicking around in there.
There are definitely some dandy rams.
And I think, isn't that where old man Jassics, for people listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's where his 186 and change was one of those two units.
Right. I think it was. I think it was
011.
011. Yeah.
So those genetics they're in there for
sure.
In there. But
yeah, I mean, there were some issues back in the day. That's why they were closed off, but now they've started recovering, and here we are. So then they also established a management ram hunt in, what is that unit?
066.
So they have an early, a mid, and a late season. So they have three seasons.
Ooh. Hey, I got a question to ask you on that. Go figure. But we are up against the clock here, folks. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to Shooting Performance Institute, Rifle Liberty Arms, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. And sincere thanks to all of you that take the time out of your Sunday to tune in and listen. Dave, we left off with a California Bighorn Sheep, the 066 hunt, management ram 066 hunt.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about, if it's a management hunt where the goal is to eliminate rams from the landscape or clean up, you know, a population that may be experiencing some die-off, why split it up like that? Why not just have 1 3-month season? And it seems counterproductive to me, but I don't know. That's just from where I'm sitting.
Well, as you and I know, 066, it's a pretty large area, but the sheep are probably concentrated in like the snowstorms.
I mean. Otherwise, that northern end of it's like flat,
right.
Pancake flat desert.
Exactly. And you're not going to.
Antelope country.
It's antelope country. So they're probably in a one geographic location.
Okay.
Depending on how many tags that are going to be recommended to the commission
and
in
we
May.
We won't know that.
When
yeah,
we won't
exactly.
know that until that's done. It could be that they separated it out into 3 separate hunts, so they don't have so many hunters.
Too much crowd.
Too many hunters in, you know, one isolated area after an illegal ram. Break
that
it up.
That would make sense.
You know, break it up a little bit and let that happen. Because there's, now we've got another hunt being reestablished for Rocky Mountain Bighorns. I mean, that's the holy grail of it.
Yeah.
There's only 3 tags in the entire state for the units that are available right now, which is 102 and 115B.
Yeah.
So now they're reestablishing the 091 hunt. And it's an interstate hunt with Utah.
Right.
That's that one you can go either into Utah or, you know, in Nevada and hunt that. And I'm assuming that's probably just be one tag as well.
Yeah, and it's so funny to me, if I could for a second, when I look at the distribution of Rocky Mountain Bighorns in the state, it's a weird, you've got 115, which is down on the Utah border south of Ely.
Right.
Then you've got the Rubies.
Yeah.
Then you've got the far northeastern, the absolute northeastern corner of Nevada. It's such a weird disbursement.
It is very weird. To see it on a map, you're like, okay, what in the world happened here?
So, yeah.
But yeah, it is. They're kind of shotgunned across the whole state.
It's just weird. And you would think, I mean, if the population is doing that good or reintroduction efforts have been successful, you'd think you'd start to see them in some of the bordering units. But obviously I'm wrong on that, because as far as I've been aware, it's been 115 and that 102, unit 10,
for
unit
a long
11.
Time. Yeah.
And then now the getting that unit 9 up in the corner there again. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in other locations. There's just
not a huntable population.
Not a huntable population. Yeah.
So, okay.
But so that's the Rocky Mountains. That's going to be a cool hunt. And then get into the elk. They're eliminating the antler depredation hunt in 251.
We talked about that. I did not understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was an antler depredation hunt in there. And that, again, is going to be down there by south of Tonopah, east of Goldfield and all that. The only range I can think of down there is Cowiches.
Yeah.
And I didn't know there were that many
elk.
Part
of that. And it's just the military has a huge chunk of
that
land.
Yeah.
So that's could be part of it. But yeah, that whole eastern portion of Tonopah there, from Tonopah all the way, going all the way down to like Mercury and Indian Springs and stuff. So
apparently there was
an elk depredation hunt in there.
Antlered elk depredation hunt. Yeah. It is no more, folks.
No, it is gone. So don't put in for it.
Yeah, your cow elk and bull elk hunts end at 231, I believe, now.
Correct.
Yes.
Exactly. And then they've increased the spike hunts, and they've established an early season spike hunt in the 16s.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah. I got to figure out where I'm putting in for my spike.
A lot of spikes out there, man.
Yeah. Oh, buddy.
Everywhere.
Oh, my God. There's some really cool stuff going on in relation to a lot of changes. Grab the book, check it out, and kind of just really filter through it. And again, if you have any questions, any concerns, we gave you the Endow information.
Yep, endowinfo@endow.org is the email.
Yeah, and then eventually they're going to have that that phone center open for helping people with putting in for their tags and the whole bit.
A phone center?
Yeah, it's been going on for years, man. Where you been?
I don't know. I don't call anybody to ask.
See, there you go. Well, you don't like people. You know, they're all fat.
Everyone's fat and drinks from urinals.
Exactly. So why should I call them?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
Lord.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, there's a lot of cool stuff, a lot of really neat changes. All of them are trying to get more folks out in the field without having a lot of congestion and giving everybody that opportunity to get out there, have a good time, have a fun, safe hunt, and not be bothered by others.
I think that junior hunt thing, that's the one I am most excited about.
Dude,
because
you are going to be busy.
I have talked about it on the show. This is Madeline's first year to actually draw, and we can get into the bonus. There were some questions about the youth bonus points.
Yeah, yeah.
So Madeline got bonus points last year just on the hunts she was eligible for,
right?
Obviously, or eligible to get bonus points for, because she is an October birthday.
Yeah.
There were a few hunts that opened after she turned 12.
Yeah, that she was eligible for.
She was eligible to put in for bonus points.
Correct.
But not to put in to hunt.
No, just bonus points.
So she's got a leg up this year.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, I hate to, what's the expression, getting too far out over your skis?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. But man, with them now breaking this down to, hey, one junior tag per hunter.
Yeah. Which one do you want her to get, deer or shorter than ears?
Shorter than ears.
Yeah.
If I'm just being honest, and everybody.
It's a fun hunt though, man. I got to say, that is such
low
a
pressure.
Fun, low pressure. Yep. And it's just a fun hunt.
Yeah.
The wife has done it, and she really likes that hunt. You know, now she's got a truckload of points for everything right now. So
come on, Gina.
I know. I keep telling
Let's
her,
make it happen this
how
year.
About, can we put in for elk this year?
Yeah.
She's like, how about cow elk? I'm like, fine.
Perfect.
Fine.
Don't care.
Cow elk.
Yep,
sounds
yep.
great.
That's
so, yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. So we'll see. But she really enjoyed that. Really
horn
enjoyed
shorter,
the horn shorter.
Dave, here's how I look at it. And everybody that listens to the show knows chasing mule deer is my favorite thing in
yeah.
the world.
Oh, yeah.
I
yeah,
love
yeah, yeah.
hunting big mule deer.
Big velvet muleys.
High up in the mountains. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, for a 12-year-old daughter, I don't know that the way I like to hunt mule deer is conducive to a fun hunt for a 12-year-old
no,
dog.
No, half, probably a third of the way through your hunt, you'd have her in a baby Bajoran, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. She'd be on the meat shelf on the pack.
I was
going to
say, I've hunted with you. There's not a chance.
So
she's not ready for that.
I think the best bang for her buck, Dave, is if I can get her one of those horns shorter.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
And
we could
not,
set
man,
up
just,
a base camp,
yeah.
you
oh,
know,
dude.
Cruise around on an ATV.
Yeah.
Like
I want to go.
Absolutely. Well, that's yeah. a given at this point. Yeah, yeah. Whether you like
yeah.
it or not,
yeah.
you're coming.
Yeah. No, it would be great. And I know I'm going to, if I don't get one of those, I'm going to definitely be sitting on that first come, first serve.
Yes.
To fill the freezer.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah.
Shoot, let me look at the time here. We got like another minute or so. So I want to bring that up real quick. Back on the junior points.
Yeah.
Bonus points. Because you
yeah.
got some questions about it. And I know people are still kind of confused.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay it out as I understand it. And correct me if I'm wrong. But essentially, if your child is 11 but turning 12 during an open season that they're eligible for, you can purchase bonus points at 11.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So at 11 years old, a junior hunter who will turn 12 before the beginning of the last hunt.
Okay.
They can then put in for that hunt's bonus points or that animal.
Right.
So like deer, elk, whatever. So
right.
yeah, so she probably has a leg up on a deer hunt.
Yeah, the later season stuff,
yeah,
though,
the
because
December,
like
the December
to use,
stuff, yeah.
yeah, to use an example real quick, she was not eligible for those August 1 through
right.
15 cow elk hunts.
Right.
So she could not, because she didn't turn 12 until October.
Right.
So she could not buy bonus points for those hunts, but everything that
she had to have turned 12 before it opened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. She could buy bonus points.
Correct.
For
that
yes.
species. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it works. So if your kid is turning 12, let's take your daughter's example. Anything that starts October or later as an opening day, you can then go in and you can put them in as bonus points for that species.
Yep, and give them a leg
and
up.
Give them a leg up for the next year when they can actually put in to get a tag.
Exactly.
So that's how the junior bonus points plays out.
Perfect. Hey, we have got one more segment coming up on Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry. Sincere thank you to the show sponsors, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy. Man, we ripped through. Part of it was my mistake. I got off on my social commentary on basically the state of the world and people, and
primarily
Southern California. But yeah. So we ate up a whole segment. I'm going to shut my mouth, Dave. Let's go party tags, because there's still some confusion on that.
Yeah, especially with all these newer hunts coming in, the management ram hunt, the U hunts, the, you know, all of these other hunts that are seem to be popping up. Folks have been asking, can we put in for parties for that? Can we put in for a party for that hunt? Can we? Here's the quick nitty gritty.
Give it to me down and dirty.
All right, here we go. So the only thing you can put in for as a party, which means two hunters or more.
Correct. Not to exceed
five. Not to exceed five, includes mule deer, antlerless elk, and antelope with horns shorter than ears. Those are the only three hunts that you can do a party tag on.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was. Has not changed. One thing we do want to make clear to folks, because we've actually gotten a lot of replies or questions on this, is if I put in for a party tag and I end up with another tag that's
overlapping,
way better,
or
like the one I really want, sheep tag, elk tag, what have you, do I still get to keep my bonus points if I turn in my tag? No.
Nay.
You have to have your entire party, everybody in the party has to turn in all of their tags. Not all their tags, but they all have to turn in that party tag.
Correct.
If everybody from your party turns in the party tag that you all put in for, then everyone will receive their bonus points back. If one person out of, say, your group of five, decides, nope, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to hunt it, you guys do your thing, every single one of you will lose your bonus points.
Yep. And I would, you know what? I'm going to give somebody a compliment. He was just down here at the office, on Thursday or something. Anyway, my buddy Dustin from Pro One Automotive.
He's rad.
He is a good dude. And among other things, but one of the reasons, he was in that mule deer party with us last year.
Yeah.
You had a bull tag. I had a cow tag. We started looking at and just going, well, and we both had that party mule deer tag with Dustin in the group. It was the only tag he drew.
Yeah.
And so I talked to him and I was just like, look, man, I understand. It's the only tag he had. I had a cow elk tag. You had a bull elk tag. We were kind of like, oh, man, we're not going to have time to squeeze in a mule deer hunt. Dustin, what a stand-up human being. Dustin turned that tag in so we could all keep our bonus points, even though that meant for him,
No hunting. Yeah,
so
no, that was a solid move.
Kudos to Dustin,
yes.
Pro One Automotive, free plug, hell of a guy, because, man, that was, I know he probably thought, man, how much do I like Henry and Dave?
Yeah.
Right, I want to go.
Exactly.
No, he was awesome. He turned it in, but just be aware of that, folks, because that is a situation you could get into where the rest of the party draws something else, and you got one guy that maybe you don't know so well in the group, and he's going, hey, piss on you. I'm going hunting. This is the only tag I got.
Yeah, and then you lose all your points. So
exactly.
Going off of that, when you do put in as a party, and if somebody has, say, 10 points for deer, everybody else in the group has zero points, not everyone goes in with 10 points.
No.
It gets divvied up evenly. So hypothetically, you got two people, one has 10 points, the other one has 0 points. You guys go into the party hunt with 5 points.
Correct. Yep.
So just kind of figure that math out as you go through, especially if you're the one sitting on the 15, 10 or 15 points and you have a bunch of folks who are like, man, I got no points, but I'm going to jump in the party.
Yeah.
Choose your friends
wisely.
You're giving up a lot of your points for other folks. So that's how that goes. And then also, last but not least, look at your quota. before putting in. We've run into this before. We've had people contact us on the show about this.
Yep.
They'll put in as a party, you know, four or five folks, and there's only 10 tags.
Yep.
So if they run out of tags, or if they get below the tag numbers that your party is, so say there's only four tags left and they pull one of your party's number, you all get pushed out.
Yeah. I always tell people those are the only tags I thread the needle on.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean like I put in for everything else pre-quota because I'm just putting in by myself. It's just one. So I'm going to put in for it.
Yeah.
The party hunts, I do, it comes down to the wire on those. I try to wait for the quotas, and then I got to remember, okay, as soon as I see the quota, then I'm going to put in.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the hunts that I do, like I said, thread the needle on as far as application dates.
Yeah, I've actually been squeezed on that one before.
Forgot to put in
No, well, we put in and then just totally spaced that the area we put in. There was very few tags. Yeah, so. Yeah. So now let's hit how the draw works.
Oh, yeah.
How the draw system works, because a lot of folks still ask this question. It's been the same draw system for many, many years, how they go about what animals get drawn at what time.
Well, and it's rigged for out-of-state hunters so Endow can make more money, right?
No, it's not that.
Okay. Oh, that's weird. That's all I ever hear.
So the first tag that is drawn, or the first tags that are drawn, is the Silver State tags. So then it goes to the Partners in Wildlife tags. Then the Junior Mule Deer Antlered are drawn. Then the Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep Ram. Then they go into the California Bighorn Sheep Ram. Then the Desert Bighorn Sheep Ram. Then the Elk Antlered. Antelope Horns Longer Than Ears. Mule Deer Antlered, Mountain Goat, Bear, and then Moose.
Why is Mountain Goat and Moose, why are they so far down the list?
Good question. I guess you could,
because everything else makes sense as far as desirability. I mean, excluding the youth
thing. And that's kind of how it's set up, is desirability. You pull your, last thing you want to do is end up pulling a spike bull tag and then getting kicked out of your antlered bull tag.
Yeah.
So that's why it's much later. But yeah, bear and moose. I guess you could literally put bear and moose anywhere.
Yeah, that's
fair. It's not like, hey, oh, I'm...
Bear doesn't seem that desirable to me just because we can hunt over the counter in basically every bordering state except Utah. So I'm kind of like, man, if I want to kill a bear, go to Idaho, go to Oregon, California.
Yeah.
But mountain goat and moose being at the last to draw, that to me, I'm like... Ooh, man, I'd hate to have some overlap.
Well, they're not
overlap.
The last to draw. Those are the that group is the, I don't know, the desirable group to go for. Because then after moose, obviously it's only antlered moose.
Right.
After moose is done, then they go into the elk depredation antlered hunts, and then the management bighorn sheep ram hunts.
Okay.
And then the next tier is the California bighorn sheep ewe tag, the desert bighorn sheep ewe, elk antlerless, antelope horn shorter than ears, and then mule deer antlerless.
What? There's no such thing.
There's no such thing. I don't know why that's in here. Yeah, there are.
Jamie!
They got a Jamie! Jamie! We have an issue.
Do they really have mule deer antlerless?
Mule deer
in there?
Antlerless.
Oh.
In here twice.
Come on, Endow.
So scratch that. You're not putting in. No one's putting in for.
There's
for
no such thing.
Mule deer antlerless. They're gone. And then after that, junior antelope horn shorter than ears. So the junior hunt, they draw the mule deer hunt first.
Okay.
And then much further down the way, they do the antelope horns shorter than ears.
Oh, okay.
Junior.
Okay.
And then almost at the bottom is spike elk. And then the very last draw they do is elk depredation antlerless.
Okay.
So everybody, y'all can find this on page 10.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, how the draw cycle works. So that's how it is. We get asked all the time, you know, like, well, I don't want to put in for cow elk because if I draw that, then I'll get kicked out of my bull elk tag. No, that's not how it works, man. It's not how it works. So there's a process on how these are drawn. So,
and that is going to do it for you, Steve.
And that'll do it.
I think they call that a pregnant pause there. That's what I...
Yeah.
So that'll do it for us on this Sunday. Thank you to all of you for tuning in and being patient with us while we battled illness, traveled, you name it. Thank you for hanging in there over the reruns that we did. We are back for the foreseeable future. And do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next.